Well, it is good to be here with you today. It is good to be inside today, where it's warm and to see all of you. I hope that the Lord's presence will warm your heart today, that God will speak to each of us. So let's ask the Lord to do what He's already willing to do. Bow your heads with me as we approach God's throne this morning. Heavenly Father, indeed we want our vision to be like yours. Lord, draw us close to you now, that we may hear, that we may see your glory. Speak to us, Lord, for your children are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, years ago, very early on in my ministry, Jeanette and I had just gotten home. We'd just gotten back to Kansas City from being on Christmas vacation. And we'd had a wonderful time spending it with our family and our friends, and it was really the first break that we had taken from ministry in quite a while. But now we were home, we were back, and we walked into our town home and we were refreshed. We were relaxed from some time away. And we hadn't even started unpacking our luggage yet when the phone started ringing. And I remember thinking, ah, back to ministry. Here we go. Little did I know the drastic change that was coming from answering that phone. It was the mother of one of my youth members. And immediately I heard something in her voice that told me that something was wrong. She told me that her son, my youth member, was in the hospital. I said, "What happened?" And then she said, "He tried to take his life." And I sank down into the chair as I tried to find words to say. I thought, how could this be? I mean, this boy and I, we were close. He came to youth Sabbath school every week. He came to our events, our socials. He was there for everything. I thought, how could this happen? He and I were doing Bible studies because he wanted to be baptized. What in the world is going on? Everything seemed to be crashing down. From coming back from vacation, and this was the first phone call. We went from the mountaintop of relaxing and being refreshed to the valley low of tragedy. Have you ever experienced that in your life? Has that ever happened in your spiritual walk where you just felt like you were on top of the world with God, everything going great, and you've never been closer to God, and then all of a sudden, whoosh, it's like the rug is just pulled right out from under you? How do we explain these mountaintop and valley experiences that we walk with God? And more importantly, what should we do when we're on the mountain and when we're in the valley? Well, friends, let's look in the Bible and see if we can find out this morning, see if we can learn about this experience of being from the mountaintop to the valley low. If you've got your Bible with me, I'd invite you to open it up. If you brought it here, or if you want to find your phone, maybe you have an app or an iPad that's got it, go ahead and bring those on too. Find them there as well. And turn with me to Matthew chapter 17, to our scripture reading for today. And thank you, Christian, for reading that for us today. I appreciate that. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 17. And I want you to see it in the Bible. And I want you to hear it. What an experience this must have been. Matthew chapter 17, verse 1. Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. Talk about a mountaintop experience in your spiritual walk. This is like nothing the disciples have ever experienced. I mean, sure, they've seen Jesus do some miracles, and they, you know, had their eyes opened a little bit. They'd heard Jesus do some amazing teaching. But this, I mean, Jesus is shining forth with with heavenly power. It's just incredible. And they actually get to see Moses and Elijah. Verse 3 says that. Behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them talking with him. Talk about a who's who of the Bible right there. Moses and Elijah. And the Bible says specifically that they appeared to them, not just to Jesus. They all got to see it. They see these two humans who had been taken from earth to heaven. One after death and one even before death. This is like catching the Old Testament Hall of Fame right in front of you. Could you imagine how excited they were? Have you ever met someone famous or someone that you actually admired and then you had the opportunity to meet them? Well, it happened to me once. A few years ago, again, back when we were in Kansas City, my parents used to drive down from Iowa, and they would drive down every summer when baseball was happening. And I'm ready for baseball. It's just too cold out there, but it's going to come eventually. And they would come down specifically, not just any Kansas City Royal game. They would come down when the Kansas City Royals were playing, yes, you can guess it, the New York Yankees is when they would come down. And so they were down there. We saw the game. And then I found out from one of my church members where the Yankees would sometimes go out to eat after a game. So I took my parents. I said, let's go there. We'll see what we find out. So we went. My dad has followed the Yankees all his life, and he taught me well. He taught me to cheer for them too. So we're sitting there in the restaurants, kind of dimly lit, and it's not like baseball players walk around with their ball caps and uniforms on. So we asked our waitress when she came over, we said, there happen to be any ball players here? Are there any Yankees that are eating here? And she's standing there with the menus, and she goes, oh, I don't know. There could be some here. And right behind me where I'm sitting in the booth, I could reach back like this, and I could have touched the head of Mariano Rivera, who, if you don't know baseball that much, Mariano just retired. He's most likely the greatest closer to have ever played the game of baseball. One of my huge heroes in baseball. Wonderful Christian man, too. And he's right there behind me. As he got up to leave, we stopped him and we chatted. Very nice guy. He signed a ball for my boy Ethan. And talk about a high for us. I mean, we were on cloud nine as we left that restaurant. So imagine what it must have been like. Even more than that, for Peter, James, and John, think about how they were feeling as they witness Moses and Elijah and they see Jesus in all his glory. So how do they react to this? How would you react if you had this experience with God? Well, we continue the story there in Matthew chapter 17, verse 4, we hear Peter. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Peter's mind is racing. He says, this is the greatest event ever. And his reaction, let's just stay here. Let's stay here on top of the mountain. This is a good place to be. We got to stay here. And then verse 5 comes. And it says, while he was still speaking, Peter gets interrupted. Now, I have two children in my household. One in particular loves to talk all the time and loves to excitedly share all kinds of stuff. Are there any parents out there? Let's testify today. Are any parents out there who are teaching your children about not interrupting? Have you had to do that before? Oh my goodness, I feel like I'm a referee constantly. No, stop. You're interrupting this one. And then, no, now you have to wait. Take your turn. Seems like that's all I do. And we especially try to teach them not to interrupt when an adult is talking, but to wait and to take your turn. But in this amazing chapter, Matthew 17, we actually find God Almighty. We find God the Father interrupting. He interrupts. Peter has some plans. He says, I know what to do. First, it's good to be here. Let's stay right here and let's build something. Tabernacles. Yeah, three of them. Let's put them up here. We're going to stay right here on the mountaintop. And the Bible says that while Peter is talking, God the Father cuts him off. Verse 5. While he was speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him." The Father's voice comes booming out and says, "Listen to my Son." And then Peter, James, and John do what they should have done from the start. Boom! They hit the ground and they bow down. What a mountaintop experience. So what can we learn from this? From this mountaintop time with Jesus? Because in your life, you will have these spiritual highs. What can you learn from what happened here? Well, the first thing we have to learn from this story is that when you're up on the mountaintop with God, you need to forget about your plans. And that's hard. You need to take your plans and put them on the back burner. See, Peter had his plans. He said, let's just stay here. You know, let's stay here. There's no reason to go anywhere else. But he had to forget about his plans when he was on the mountain. God gives us the mountaintop experiences in our spiritual walk so that we can connect with him. Number two, what happened up there? Not only did they have to forget about their plans, they had to listen to God and listen to Jesus. That's why you're on the mountain to begin with, amen? Jesus gives them encouragement in verse 7. He says, don't be afraid. And then he gives them instruction in verses 9 and on, tells them what to do. So listen to Christ when you're having a mountaintop time in your life. Make sure you're listening. And then the number three thing to discover and to think about when you're on a high with God, you're having a wonderful time with him, you're on top of the mountain, the third thing you got to do is get ready to leave the mountain. You can't stay up on the mountain. You have to come back down. Pastor Andy and I had an experience of being on the mountaintop here recently when we were at that prayer conference in San Francisco. We got to hear wonderful messages from brilliant minds. We had great fellowship with other pastors from all over the country. We took time just to pray and to listen. We spent time with God, and we enjoyed the warm California sun while we were there. And after a while, I thought, boy, it sure would be nice just to stay right here. I was just like Peter. This is great. Build a tabernacle. And then it hit me. What is waiting for us when we come off this mountain? And we came back from California. And since that time, our church has just been hit with tragedies. As for a while, it seemed like one after another, we had members going on hospice care, funerals happening, unexpected deaths, troubles in families, all these things that are taking place. We went from going high on the mountain down into the valley. It's not easy. So what can we learn from God's word? What happened to the disciples when they left the mountain? Continuing on in Matthew chapter 17, verse 9, it says, now as they came down from the mountain, they're going down, they're leaving that place, and what's waiting for them in the valley? Verse 14, and when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to Jesus and saying, Lord, I have mercy on my son, for he's an epileptic and suffers severely, for he's often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. They go from being with Moses and Elijah and Jesus, and they come down off the mountain, and what is waiting for them when they get down? Down at the bottom of the mountain, they get there, and they're confronted with demonic power. And a demon-possessed boy brought right to them, right to their feet. We have to realize that Satan is still working even while we are up on the mountain. What else did they see? human suffering. This father who's worried about his son. His son's almost been killed before. And this is what they find in the valley. They also find unbelief there in the valley. Verse 17, Jesus says, "Oh, you faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you?" We're so quick to forget as humans what Jesus has done in the past and in our lives. And Jesus knew that when he was gone, that our faith would wane. Will our faith hold on, friends, even while Jesus is far away on top of a mountain? Will we continue to hold on? And then lastly, down there at the bottom of the hill, they find human failure. The other disciples cannot cast out the demon. And they used to be able to cast out demons. In verse 19, they asked Jesus, they said, what went wrong? Why couldn't we do it? He had sent them out and they had cast out demons, but now, in this story, they can't. Their unbelief got in the way. Verse 20, Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." So their unbelief got in the way. I think something was happening here with the disciples. I think jealousy was starting to reign its ugly head. Because three went up on the mountain. That means nine stayed behind. And they said, well, how come James and John and Peter are always, how come they're always going up there with Jesus? Got in the way of them doing ministry when they started looking at others. So what's the solution to all this? They get down off the mountain. They've got all these problems that they're facing. The solution, friends, is Jesus. Amen? The solution was not the special humans who went up on the mountain. Peter, James, and John do not perform the healing here in this chapter. The answer to the problems of the valley lows of life is not to point people to ourselves, but to point people to Christ. It's the only solution. When we were enjoying that mountaintop time, that prayer conference out in California, I remember thinking, Lord, what's waiting for us when we get back? I remember thinking, something's coming. And tough times do come when we leave the mountaintop. Now, some of you might be thinking, well, Pastor, if that's the case, and tough times come when you go away, the answer is don't go on any more prayer conferences. Right? And maybe in your life you think, well, if I just make sure not to go up on the mountain with God, then I won't have any valleys to deal with either. That's not the case. Friends, the mountaintop experience doesn't bring on the valleys. They don't cause it. God brings you and I up on the mountain with him to prepare us for the valley lows that he knows are coming, regardless of if we spent time with him or not. So God uses the mountain time to give us the strength to handle the coming valleys. So remember what we're supposed to do when we're up on the mountain. And maybe in your life right now, you're on the mountaintop high with God. Remember what you're supposed to do. Forget your plans. Get to listening. And then prepare to go back into the work of helping others and helping the lost. But you say, Pastor, I'm not on the mountaintop. I'm not up there. I'm in the valley. So what do I do when I'm down here? What can we learn from this story? First and most critical, the huge key from this story, the answer to it all, when you come off the mountain, make sure you bring Jesus with you. Amen? Imagine if they left him up on the mountain. Disciples didn't leave him up there. He came down with them. So you've got to make sure when you're leaving that mountaintop experience that you take Jesus right along at your side. Second, Matthew chapter 17, verse 21. They ask why we're having problems with this particular boy. He says, however, this kind, this demon does not go out except by prayer and fasting. So number one, bring Jesus with you off the mountain. The other answer when you get to the valley is according to Jesus, prayer and fasting. It's about keeping your connection with God. It's crucial when you're in the valley. The answer to the problems of the valley is relying on God to help us, staying connected to Him. So I ask us all today, you and me, how's our connection with God these days? How you doing? Well, maybe right now in your mind you're thinking, well, Pastor, you just don't know. You don't understand. I have been busy. I got things to do. I got so much to do. And so I haven't really taken the time. And it's kind of, I know. I've been busy too. And I love the title of the book that Bill Hybels wrote a while back. It takes you a second to get this title in your head, but I like it. Too Busy Not to Pray. That's a good title, and it's a good book. Because many times, oh, I'm just too busy to pray. And he says, no. If you're busy, you're too busy not to pray. You've got to take the time to stay connected to God when you're down in the valley, or you'll never make it. So where are you today? Are you having a mountaintop experience with God? If so, make sure you're listening. Or you say, Pastor, no, that's not me. I'm down in the valley. If you're down in the valley, are you staying connected to God? The only solution to the problems of this world, or is Satan using your problems or using your busyness to sever your connection with Christ? Where are we today? Well, a couple years ago, my family and my sister's family vacationed in Colorado. And we went there in the summertime. We stayed on the west side of the Rocky Mountain National Park. Then we got up one day early, and we spent the day driving over the mountains. And you can do that. You can drive on what's called Trail Ridge Road, and it goes over the mountains. Over the Continental Divide is the highest paved road here in the continental U.S. And you can drive up over the mountains. And it was beautiful. We got to see these amazing scenes. Even this was July, this picture, and you still got snow up there, up in the tundra. We got to see beautiful wildlife up close, things we don't normally see here in Nebraska. It was a wonderful time. And it took a long journey to go up and down all those switchbacks here and there and everything. But we made it to the other side, and this was the picture we saw right before we went into Estes Park. On the other side of the Rocky Mountain National Park. We made it to Estes and had a great time hanging out there in that town. Then we were eventually ready to go back home. And my sister, who had never been to this part of the country before, says to me, so how do we get back to the resort from here when we're in Estes? And I said, well, we got to go back over the mountain. And she goes, nuh-uh. I don't know why she thought I would tease her about something like that. I says, yeah, we have to drive back over. She goes, no, we don't. There's got to be a shorter way. I said, no, that actually is the shortest way back to the Grand Lake area in Granby. Over the mountains. I said, we got to go over the mountains. We got to go through the valleys. But don't worry, if you just follow me, I will get you home. But it seemed like too far a drive. And it's a long one. It is. In her mind, she thought, there's got to be another way. There's got to be a shorter path, you know, just a straight shot, a tunnel right through it all. No. Sometimes it seems to us like the road to heaven is too long. And we don't want to go over the mountains. We don't want to travel down through the valleys. But friends, that is the only way to get home. And the key to all of this, my friends, is Jesus. After being on the mountaintop, make sure you bring Jesus off the mountain with you. And when you're in the valley of life, you got to cling to Jesus for help. My friends, I'm here to tell you that there are mountains ahead of us. There are valleys that we simply will have to go through. And Jesus reveals in this story that He will be with us. He'll be with us up on the mountain and in the valley. Both times. That young man who tried to take his life early in my ministry was in the valley. And God sent me into the valley. It's not a fun place to be, but I needed to be there. And I praise the Lord that though that valley was long, many years, many hardships, and a ton of pain, that young man got out of the valley. And I stood beside him on the day that he chose to be baptized and to give his heart to the Lord. It's not fun being in the valley, but I praise God that he could use me to help that young man. Friends, Jesus did not save us just so we could hang out on a mountaintop and wait for the end of the world to get here. What do we do on Sabbath morning? What we do here should be a mountaintop experience for each of us every week, that time with God. Why does Jesus give us this time with him? He gives it to us, friends, and he saves us so that this experience of time with him, this close connection with God, we have that so that we can come down off the mountain of light and go back out into this dark world that so desperately needs some light to be shown in it. Friends, we've got work to do. And the work is down in the valley. There are people out there in the dark valleys of life who need to know what you know about Jesus. And there are people even among us right here today that are in their valley, and they need you and I to walk beside them and to remind them that Jesus is still with them. So wherever you're at in life, if you're in the valley or if you're on the mountaintop, let's listen to Jesus. And let's follow, whether Jesus leads us up on the mountain or whether he says it's time we go through the valley. When we're in the valley, let's point others to Christ. And may we never forget, and may we also share with others that after we go through the mountains and after we travel through the valleys, Jesus will help us make it home. But the way home is only through the mountain and only through the valley. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, you've promised to us to be with us. You didn't promise us that it would always be mountaintop time, but you promised that you'd be there on the mountain and you'd be with us in the darkest valley. So, Lord, we cling to you today, and we ask you to continue talking. And when you need to interrupt us, make us be quiet so that we can listen. And, Lord, help us to take you wherever we go, and help us to follow wherever you lead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.